Hello, I'm Tom Fraser, and this is a special edition of my podcast. Today I'm in Singapore talking with Dr. Noura Binti Abdul Karim. Dr. Noura is a Deputy Director of Research and Conservation for the Singapore Botanic Gardens. I visited the gardens several times in the past few weeks, and let me tell you, the gardens are nothing short of magnificent. They're an important cultural, natural, and scientific asset in a city that calls itself the Garden City. The gardens were declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 2015. It is my distinct pleasure to be sitting here today with Dr. Noura at the gardens. Noura, just to begin, not all of my listeners have been to the gardens, obviously. So could you give us a bit of a bird's eye view of the gardens? Like, what do they look like? How large are they?
Hello, Tom. Thank you very much for having me. The Singapore Botanic Gardens was founded in 1859 by the Agri-Horticultural Society. It started off as a recreational garden that was run by this society. But by 1874, the society went bankrupt, so they sort of handed over the property to the British government. So by 1875, the British government had taken over the running of the gardens and started to look into revamping the role of the garden. Mm-hmm. So when the British took over, they brought in Kew-trained botanists to become administrators, and then the garden's role changed from just recreational. It also was being pushed towards the research of tropical botany. Mm-hmm. So basically, the garden now is 82 hectares, which about 64, I know, 82 hectares, and then 64 was the original site. In 2010, we received another 18 hectares, so that added on to the site. Mm-hmm. And our main collections is basically tropical and subtropical flora of the Southeast Asian region, as well as South American and Central America. So all these collections were brought in or through exchanges during the British time, as well as recent times. Mm-hmm. So we have a variety of collections, and these collections are used for educational purposes as well as research, and also for just display. Mm-hmm. And our most famous of our thematic gardens in Botanic Gardens is, of course, the National Orchid Garden, which is showcasing our most famous flora, which is the orchids.
Right. Yeah. The Orchid Garden is a real favorite of mine, and I was actually walking through there on Saturday again. How many different types of orchids are in the Orchid Garden?
There's two types of orchids. We have over, I think, 2,000 different types of hybrids, which is man-made crosses, and then some 1,000 orchid species are kept as well in the collection. Mm-hmm. So what you will see as you walk around is mainly the hybrids, and then there is a special section, which is the orchidarium. This holds some of the species collection from the tropics.
Mm-hmm. And an interesting thing about the Orchid Garden, there is a special area where orchids are named after heads of state who have visited Singapore and different dignitaries. Tell us a little bit about that practice.
This is a very unique tradition that started in Botanic Gardens back in 1956. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's called our orchid diplomacy. It's basically having new hybrids that was created in the gardens, and then we will offer these orchids to visiting dignitaries that the MFA has alerted that is coming to visit, and through their input, we will present orchids that are named and name it after this visiting dignitary. So it is to forge a kind of bilateral relationship in a very, very beautiful way, in a very safe way as well. Yeah. So these orchids are named after these dignitaries, and they come back with a positive memory of Singapore.
Yes. Listeners will be curious. Tell us about what are the names of a few of the people who have had orchids named after them?
Some of the orchids, dignitaries that had orchids named after them was, of course, in the early days was Queen Elizabeth,
yes,
Emperor Akihito,
yeah.
And then the most recent of the royals, of course, mm-hmm. William and Catherine, and
right,
then
right.
We also have orchids named after former president,
yeah.
Obama and Michelle, Michelle and Barack Obama, and mm-hmm. of course, regional yeah. presidents like mm-hmm. the one from Philippines,
yes.
and China was also named after them, mm-hmm. and there's many others as well.
You get some very high-profile visitors in the garden,
yes.
But tell us about the scientific significance of some of the work done at the gardens.
Well, Tom, the scientific work that has done that was done in the gardens dates back since when the British government took over the
yes.
gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, in the older days during the colonial time, it was ethnobotanical research that they were looking, and they were looking into trialing crops from this region as well in other tropical places.
Mm-hmm.
For possibility of making plantations out of them to for commercially making plantations,
mm-hmm.
and then our most famous research came from one of our directors, Henry Ridley, when
mm-hmm.
he was studying and researching on rubber latex producing plants. So
yes.
rubber was one of those that came from our research labs here
mm-hmm.
in the gardens. So he actually trialed different sustainable ways of tapping rubber,
right.
and also improved on the production of rubber latex
mm-hmm.
through breeding programs
right.
of the rubber, and also he looked into ways of processing the latex for possibility to shipping overseas
yeah.
and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. My understanding is that the gardens played a very fundamental role in just kind of essentially the creation of that that industry and kind of how it contributed to economies in Southeast Asia at a point in history. On the topic of history, before we started recording this, we were talking a little bit about Lee Kuan Yew's influence on the activities of the garden. Could you speak about that?
Our former Prime Minister, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, was
mm-hmm.
one of the key persons that has been highlighted as the instigator for the Garden City program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it all started in 1963 when he did the tree planting event, and that was when Singapore was still under Malaysia, together with Malaysia. So when Lee Kuan Yew came on board, he was looking at other ways of making Singapore stand out and trying to change the look of Singapore
yeah.
to be more modern and to create a very safe environment and a pleasing environment for
mm-hmm.
its her people, and as well as to entice people to come and work
mm-hmm.
in Singapore. So he was envisioning Singapore to look more something like the Swiss of the East,
yeah.
Switzerland of the East. So he was creating and trying to encourage more greening programs to start up in Singapore. And this will somehow relate back to investors to see this as a safe and well-organized country, and
yeah.
and so would indirectly influence people to want to invest in this place.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with that, the Singapore Botanic Garden became the source for getting expertise and
yeah.
to try and get knowledge of how what plants would be best suited for
mm-hmm.
for making a very quick and fast introduction to Singaporeans to having green on
mm-hmm.
on every corner of the country. So
right.
the garden was had taxonomists and botanists on board, and nursery people and propagators. So these are the people he started to engage to try and see how we can green up Singapore and to bring the vision of Garden City to the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah, you were observing earlier how Lee Kuan Yew, he wasn't just a politician or an insightful business person, but he really thought about psychology
yeah.
as well. And kind of comment on that a little bit about how his thinking about psychology and people's behavior kind of fits into the gardens and how that fits into kind of the culture that founders of the country wanted to develop here.
Okay, because Singapore is a melting pot. We yeah. have been getting people from all over the world migrating here. Mm-hmm. And then Lee Kuan Yew, as I... This is my personal observation, I guess, because since young I've seen him on TV and all that. He mm-hmm. is very... He's more than just a politician. He yeah. really looks into the people's well-being. Mm-hmm. So one of the... He probably read a lot and he had experienced by himself that when you are with nature, you tend to be more happier and mm-hmm. more productive. Yeah. So these are all the psychology of yeah. what makes a happy citizen. Mm-hmm. And to make a country successful, you need to have happy citizens who yeah. are willing to be able to work safely and mm-hmm. enjoy staying in that country and promote it. So first thing was, of course, the easiest way is to green up the country. And yeah. so that's why he pushed for such things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is fascinating. It's interesting how a garden can actually contribute to the development of a country. This is the conclusion of my first segment of my interview with Noura. To learn more, please go to the second segment of this interview.